Welcome to The Wild Hunt. We are an unofficial podcast having a casual conversation about the History Channel television series Vikings. I'm your host, Em.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Paul.
Okay, what'd you guys think about this episode?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. I didn't know what to expect. I thought it was, you know, I'll just leave it at that. I didn't know what to expect, but I was floored. They really took it up a notch.
Well, they gave us so much for our first episode. They gave us so much to talk about, and then they fuck with you in a lot of different levels of emotion, so it's pretty cool.
They got right to business, too.
Yeah.
Before we get into the recap, I just want to tell our listeners, if you want to be part of our discussion, drop us a line at noshipnetwork@gmail.com, and that's in no, you can't have any, ship, as in we're sailing on a ship, network@gmail.com. So no ship network.
And if anybody can tell us what no ship means or what it's a reference to, what scientific or a science fiction body of work that is, we'll give you a shout out on the podcast.
You get bonus points.
Yeah, bonus points.
You can also contact us via our No Ship Network Facebook page and our Twitter account, which our Twitter handle is @NoShipNetwork. Okay, so the episode opens with Rollo looking large and leading a charge.
Oh, Lord.
Did you work on that one for a while?
About a million seconds. It is approximately 3 years later from the first episode of last season. Ragnar tells King Horik that he does not believe in his heart that Rollo will follow through with his betrayal because Rollo does not have a reason. And I'm wondering if this is foreshadowing a betrayal from Ragnar towards Rollo, and maybe eventually Rollo will have a real reason. Floki does not think anyone needs a reason for betrayal.
That's a great line.
He's pretty cynical. He's talking about keep your expectations low and you won't be disappointed kind of thing.
Maybe that's why he's always amused.
Possibly, yeah.
People are always surprising him. And we also learned last season that Floki does not think much of Rollo, which, you know, it's reinforced here with what he's saying about Rollo. Ragnar leaves, and he has a vision of Rollo covered in blood. And then the next thing we see is Ragnar, I've noticed twice in this episode that he goes and washes his face when he's feeling some stress, I think, or about to go into battle, because the second time he does it, it's right before him and Lagertha really get into it.
It makes sense because it's kind of refreshing. It takes a little of the cobwebs out when you do something like that. A good, you know,
clears
a cold
your mind.
Washcloth. Yeah, it's like a slap in the face real quick.
It's also a psychological thing too. Like any kind of, I don't know, whenever I work like really long shifts at work, if I change my shirt in the middle of it, or sometimes if I just brush my teeth in the middle of it, I feel like a new person. I'm ready to go for like 4 or 5 more hours. It's crazy. You're not really changing anything, but just that little psychological edge. So I think there's a little element of that.
So while he does this Viking bath, because they did something like this, like as a, before they took off in their boats last season, where they were like blowing their nose in it and everything, and they shared it, and you'd want to be the first person.
Yeah.
Not the last.
Yeah, the snot rocket bucket.
Yeah. He hears a horn being blown, and it's announcing Rollo and his men. Floki says, "See, I was right about Rollo." So a messenger goes to meet with Jarl Borg and Rollo. It is Arne from Ragnar's camp. He tries to convince Rollo not to fight his brother. Rollo asks if Ragnar sent him. Arne does not respond with words, which the way I interpret it means no, that he came on his own volition. And I think that's how Rollo took it too. And he seemed a little bit disappointed, but Rollo sticks to his guns.
Like maybe there was a glimmer of hope that if Ragnar had sent him, that he could possibly kind of come back from that. But because it wasn't him, he's just like, oh, you're just speaking your own mind. You're not representing anybody, so forget it.
Which he has a fantastic line. Is this where he tells him, I answer him with blood?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
What were they doing before Arne got there? Because he and Jarl Borg had I think they were doing some sort of battle ritual. I think they did something to their chests because they both had
gashes across their chest that were bleeding blood, but the blood had stopped. So they had probably done it a little while before that.
Yeah, and then
they clasped hands,
and then they grabbed something out of a bowl and ate it.
Yeah, and they did it all in the same motion. So, yeah. Like you said, it was ritualistic, whatever it was.
Blood brothers.
It was the pre-battle M&Ms. Get your blood sugar up, ready to go.
So the two sides are at their battle lines and they're facing off. Then we have an incredible battle.
I didn't think that we were going to get to see this battle in this episode, because if anybody had seen some of the promo spots that they had on YouTube or just on TV where they show almost like 50% of this battle in it, because it's a little 2-minute preview, and I thought this was going to be like at the end, you know what I mean, like the culmination of the season. But I mean, the first 5 minutes you're getting this battle, I was like, hell yeah.
Oh, I know. Rolo's pretty intimidating because he goes into it with no shirt on, no armor,
He's a
just
big
his
dude.
axe. Yeah, he's massive and he's already bleeding to start. So pretty tough.
That opening or that promo you talked about, I was actually the way they edited it was a little bit different because they make it look like Floki could have been killed because you don't see Rolo lose the blade off of his axe in that
Exactly. Yeah.
promo, so it looks like he was killed.
A little bit misleading because they show the same strike at his face, but you, as the viewer watching the promo, don't know, like you said, that there's no blade.
Yeah. And there is no love lost between Floki and Rolo.
No.
Not at all. It makes me wonder if there is a past there. There's something that hasn't been revealed to us yet that's
Well,
happened between Floki and
didn't
Rolo.
Rolo rape one of his girls, Floki's girls, last
I
season?
don't know if Floki knows that.
Well, I mean, it almost seems that way, though, doesn't it?
It didn't really seem that, from what I remember, Floki didn't really seem to have any issue with Rolo until he pretended to convert to Christianity.
Yeah, that was really the only source of contention between the two of them. But it was a pretty big one because Floki takes that stuff really
Yeah.
seriously.
I guess it could be just that. But Arne now, that was a very intense moment with Rolo.
He was just, right before the battle talking about how we fought as brothers, and I'd like to
Yes.
think of you as one. And then he just runs him through.
Yeah, and when he first impales Arne and they make eye contact, I swear I saw emotional pain on Rolo's
Oh, I
face.
agree.
Yeah, I did too.
But then he throws it aside and commits to it
Oh yeah, he
and then
lifts him
some.
off
It's
the
like he put
ground.
it's almost like he resents the fact that he had it, and he just wants to become this other person. He's
Well, he
he
was
feels like,
committing.
yeah, this co yeah, exactly, this course he's committed to, and then he just lifts him up,
And
which
uses
is
him as
really,
a prod or like a goading object
oh yeah,
to
to dry out Ragnar.
something. Yeah, maybe that's what he wanted. And it appears absolutely ruthless. Like if you don't see his face or if you don't know the relationship. I like how they use the ear ringing silence effect as well.
Yeah, because
It's
it's almost like you feel like you got hit in the head.
so Ragnar sees this what happened with Arne and faces off with Rolo. Ragnar asks Rolo if this is what he really wants, and Rolo cannot fight Ragnar.
Well, you see him like struggle because at the very beginning of it, he's like has his spear up and he's kind of grunting, and every time Ragnar comes close, he gives him the And then he finally just realizes he can't do it. He just can't cross that line. He's crossed every other line, but he can't cross that one. And he goes to his knees and pretty much surrenders, knowing they're gonna kill me for this.
He's
I'm
fully
screwed.
expecting that.
Oh,
He's not
absolutely.
looking for any mercy or anything.
Yeah, I even we'll get to it, but I think he actually wanted to die.
I agree.
The battle has ended, and we see Floki's wounded but alive. King Horik and Jarl Borg meet. Jarl Borg is not interested in King Horik's offer. Ragnar, in frustration, calls for a different purpose, raiding the West and no longer fighting among each other and finding land to farm. I like that they mentioned that because there's some theories as to why they started raiding, and there wasn't a lot of land, and so they had, and there was the population had increased, so they had to possibly start going and looking on their own. So anyway, this is something Jarl Borg and King Horik can agree on for now, anyway. I think Jarl Borg still looked a little,
Tentative.
yeah, and I think like last season, the whole way that it went with Earl Ragnar, like he had a lot more authority than what was usually. I think it's a little bit more democratic. I've read that online somewhere that the way they illustrated their government was a little bit more theocratic than democratic. And I could tell that when I watched this with closed captioning, you get a lot more information because the stuff that people are saying in the background, like the crowd, is much more clear because they're putting it in closed captions. Well, you can't. I mean, you can't make it out when you're just watching it. And so I'm thinking that's all part of Jarl Borg is hearing what people are saying, so he has no choice. if he can tell that his constituents, for lack of a better word, are on the side of Ragnar's, you know, wisdom here, that he's going to go ahead and just fold for now. That's what I'm thinking is going on. So they're more in line with what was probably like the real type of government.
Huh.
Possibly. And on that note, I am a history fan, not a historian, as Dan Carlin says. So please feel free to correct us at noshipnetwork@gmail.com if you need to. But just, you know, keep in mind, I'm not saying I'm a historian. So anyway, Ragnar tells Rollo about Gita's death. And then Floki spits at Rollo. And this is foreshadowing the nature of Rollo's homecoming, basically.
Yeah.
So can you imagine the rank and file soldiers that just fought in that battle, though? You know, they just spent however long trying to kill each other, and now they're going to be on the same team, and they're going to go raid other lands.
I know. It's just how it was back then, though, you know?
You just got to be, like, one of those guys thinking, you know, maybe we could have thought of this, like, you know, I don't know, yesterday?
I know.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah, in their pockets and two, you know, in the camp with people bitching and pissing them off.
Yeah.
It does seem, yeah.
Or maybe that's the time, that was the right time to kind of strike that idea out, you know, when everybody was battle weary.
And they've lost some friends.
Yeah.
Don't want to lose any more. Don't want to lose another Arne. So they arrive to Kattegat. They arrive to Kattegat by boat and are greeted by the townspeople. We see Helga, who's Floki's girl, Lagertha, and Bjorn. Ragnar and his family, along with Siggy and Athelstan, sit around their common room fire. Ragnar tells how Arne was killed by Rollo. He tells of Floki's critical state. Lagertha tells him this was not his quarrel and that he chose to partake.
Mm-hmm.
They argue, which upsets Bjorn. And then Lagertha asks about Aslaug.
Yeah, pretty bluntly, too.
Yeah. Who's Aslaug?
Awkward.
While we're fighting.
I like how he asks his son, what'd you say?
Yeah.
We had an agreement.
Yeah.
Ugh. And they take their dirty laundry to the back room. Ragnar admits to having sex with Aslaug. He tells Lagertha that he does not love Aslaug and he wants to make this better. He promised to never see Aslaug again.
Well, he's just kind of manhandling her. He's like, what's going to make this go away? And she gives him an answer. I mean, I guess that's how it worked back then, you know.
Well, he was handling it pretty smoothly. I don't know if anybody else could pull that off. That kind of turnaround. You know, you caught me cheating. I admitted to it. Let me turn it around and let's have sex. You know, I mean, that doesn't happen very often. Ragnar's got some moves, at least in this scene.
I think it also helps.
So much.
Yeah. I think it also helps that, you know, I think things culturally were a little bit different. Because even like the first episode, we see them in season one when he's about to go to the thing and she's like basically like trying to find out if he's may or may not have sex with somebody, or I can't remember exactly what it was, but you know, I don't think that it's the options completely closed. Mm-hmm. It's just, she doesn't like it.
Hmm. Well, she's a shield maiden.
Yeah.
She's not going to put up with shit.
But you're right. It probably has something to do with the times and the culture. Because in modern times, I don't even think Han Solo could have pulled that one off.
Yeah.
It's just like, wait, you just did what?
Yeah. The flip.
Yeah, and now I'm trying to do it with you. See?
We're on the same page. I love you. Because he pulled the classic, I don't love her. It was just what happened. But I love you. Don't ruin that. I mean, that's pretty much what he did. Just a little smoother.
has that ever worked on a woman ever?
It might have. It wouldn't surprise me. Look at those women. You know, sometimes women or even men you know, will stay with someone who abuses them. So I think in their head, you have to make concessions and convince yourself that it's all right.
I think there's a lot of variables. She's a strong woman. So I think the only reason why she has a fierce love for him.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. And then the cultural thing. Other than that, that's the only reason why she's still with him at this point. Because obviously we see what happens later.
Yeah, so later on it does.
She does have her limits. But so now Bjorn and Ragnar talk about Lagertha and their troubles. Bjorn asks after Rollo. Ragnar says he will go up in front of the assembly and the lawgiver will give judgment. Rollo, let me say that again. Ragnar says he will go up in front of the assembly and the lawgiver will give judgment towards Rollo at the Law Rock.
And this is the point where Ragnar shows Bjorn a gold coin that he mm-hmm. has.
Yes.
That he got from England.
Yes.
Because it has the king's face on it.
Yes.
And he tries to, I like this scene because he tries to bite it. You know,
yeah.
And Bjorn just pulls it out of his mouth. He's like, let me see that.
He's like, is it worth a lot?
I think I like that they actually zoomed in on the coin because I've been watching some documentaries lately about England and a king, I think it was King Offa. Looks almost exactly like that coin, which is pretty cool. So they paid attention to detail, at least there. So now we got, and we will see that coin again very soon, actually. Siggy visits Rollo and provides very little comfort towards him. He's just ready to die, and he says that
you can't warm the dead.
Yeah, a cold dead man or whatever. Rollo is brought before the Law Rock, and the town of Kattegat is in attendance. I'll eventually get that pronunciation down. The law speaker passes judgment and leaves it up to the gods to decide Rollo's fate, who have seen it necessary to spare Rollo this far. But we see what really moved his hand.
Well, for being paid off, he made it really convincing. You know, even for me, I was like, eh, okay, you know, I bought it.
Yeah, I can buy this. The gods didn't kill him in battle, so they've already passed judgment, and he deserves to live for mm-hmm. some reason. Then you see the shiny. And
yeah.
It was like, oh, he's good.
But it's even better when you go back and rewatch it.
Mm-hmm.
It's you get a kind of a different interpretation of it. And the way I took it after I watched it again is that he's kind of looking to see if what he's saying is convincing, because I think he knows, he probably had to say, like, I really want this coin, but how am I going to mm-hmm. pass
Make
this
it
off?
Happen.
You know? And so he has to say something. And so he starts talking about, well, if the gods spared him up to this point and what he did was unexpected and interesting, which I also think is you know, saying something just about the show in general. But I think, you know, he was kind of looking around the crowd to see if it was working.
Like maybe he had a backup plan.
He's just like, oh, yeah, okay.
I like him better than the last lawgiver, that little Weasley bastard. So.
Svein?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
He couldn't have pulled that off.
And they show a counterpoint to that, because what's the blonde guy's name that comes up to Ragnar right after that, after judgment?
Thorstein, I think is his name.
He's like, you need to kill him anyway.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. he betrayed us. And then Ragnar's like, no, we need to follow the law, which is in sharp contrast to the last Earl, who just kind of did whatever the hell he wanted.
Oh, yeah. Rollo would have died behind the scenes already. Yeah, you know?
He wouldn't have got there in the first
place.
Or been tortured first. So we have a scene with Rollo and Ragnar where they meet on the docks. Rollo explains that he wanted to step out of Ragnar's shadow. I don't think Ragnar said one word during that encounter.
Well, I can't remember if he did or not.
You would know. I don't remember either. I don't remember him saying anything, but you've seen this episode like 3 times today. So you should, yeah. I mean, you know, if you're saying it, I believe you. But
yeah, I don't think he said one word. I think it was just Rollo speaking that whole time.
And he looked the way they had him dressed, and he was all clean and hair combed. He looked like he was legitimately sorry. You know,
yeah,
there was a contriteness to it.
You almost want to hope for him, like, oh, okay, Rollo, you know, Rollo's messing with me again. I kind of like him right now because he's sorry.
I don't think there's another character that I could say that vacillates as much as Rollo does. Mm-hmm. I don't mind it, though.
No, not at all.
I don't think it's a flaw in the writing. I think it's going somewhere, and I can't wait to see where it's going. But I can't think of another character that flip-flops so much.
Scorpius.
He's consistent for a long time before he starts to flop. You just want to say Scorpius.
So I don't know. I agree. I can't think of not from the beginning, because from the very first few episodes, you're like, oh, he's a bastard. Oh, I kind of like him. Oh, he's a bastard. You know, so. And they do it all in one episode this time.
Well, it's like you want to like him, but he just keeps throwing up roadblocks to that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you're just like, ah, why'd you have to do that? Why do you have to be on the other side mm-hmm. of the team? You know?
Siggy's kind of like that too. Not as much, but a little bit. It's like you don't really quite know where she stands. So right now she's in the sympathetic light. But
yeah, well, she almost looks like she has feelings for Rollo.
And that she cares for LaGaritha. Mm-hmm. But I'm still like, did she poison her and make her miscarriage? I'm not, you know, I don't know where.
No telling.
That's what I thought during season 1 when she had the miscarriage, because you're kind of left like going, okay, well, this was the Earl's wife, the former Earl's wife. And, you know, she's staying with the current Earl's wife right now, kind of like as a handmaiden type thing. So how does that really play out. Yeah, I don't know. There's got to be something for her character. Mm-hmm. She's obviously sticking around,
and we know she plans on being the Earl's wife again mm-hmm. because she had that discussion with Rollo at Uppsala.
She's just doing what she has to stay in that circle. Because if she had gone off and been annoying or not helpful, they would have cast her out, and she'd be living with the peasants instead of being not making decisions, but still being around all the decisions,
Right.
Yeah, that's true. She needs to.
She's an influence.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Be Squiggy and Rollo.
So Rollo and Siggy talk. He wants to leave. She talks to him about the gods and the new life they have given him, the new opportunity. And she tells him he does not have to leave.
No, he's got to go. I don't blame him. I would have left too. It's like, because you imagine walking through a small village like that and everybody's like wanting you dead.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they kind of leave it open-ended because she tells him that, like, you can't deny the will of the gods. You're alive because they decided to spare your life. So mm-hmm. how are you going to take that gift? Are you going to just throw it back in their face? Are you going to try to make something of it? And she doesn't want to leave the village because that's where everything's happening.
Yeah.
So, but then there's nothing that's been, they don't have any concrete plans, basically. They don't say we're going to leave or we're going to stay here. They just kind of leave that conversation. Mm-hmm. They go to the next
scene. Took it that he left because we don't see him the rest of the episode.
Well, when she said that, he kind of has this look like he it hadn't occurred to him that he didn't have to leave.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means, but it's going to be tough for him to hang around.
Yeah, I mean, I would have bailed.
Because even at the assembly, they were talking about how he's killed people's sons and brothers and shit. So that's.
Yeah.
So.
Thank goodness he's like a giant. There's not too many people are going to fuck with him.
So Ragnar sits on the beach and talks to Geeta.
I love the way they film this.
Yeah.
How it's like when it's directly in front of him, it's blurry except for his face. But when they go around next to him or behind him, it's pitch clear.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
It has like a watercolor effect.
Yeah. I've never seen anybody do that before where they...
And anytime they've done that, I think a couple of times in season one, and I think it was any time he was communing with Odin or something having to do with the afterlife.
That's true, yeah.
And it made me tear up the scene, especially when he said, "If you want to come and talk to me, then come and talk to me, and I'll touch your beautiful hair with my peasant hands." Really, really good scene.
That's how, when you just step outside of it for a second and think about a scene like that. I mean, it's History Channel, and you're just. Covered all this when you talk about season one, how good of a show it is, but it's really stepping it up. It's like in the big leagues now.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's good to see, we got to see that he did love his daughter. We knew that, but it's good to see him say goodbye to her. Bjorn wakes his father on the beach. Someone is coming.
Now, what the fuck was he doing sleeping on the beach like that? Did he just like lay down and take a nap in the dirt?
Well, it could have been, it was the scene directly after the one we were just talking about.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, after that what happened
that
maybe
seems like
was
a
just
different
like,
beach though because there was nothing behind him
I
was there
think well I don't know probably because of the effect of the blurring you don't really see what was behind him
because there was no people around. It looked like he was like in the middle of town so they take it like I'm kind of tired. He just lays down and curls up like a cat by a box.
He was on the beach because when he wakes up and he looks and sees what he sees he's right there by the water so
I don't know. It made me laugh a little bit. It's like, what are you doing? Like, everybody's walking around and they're looking at him like, that's the guy in charge. Sleeping in the dirt real quick.
I guess that's what you get to do when you rule,
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm taking a nap right here, right now.
I own everything.
Well, Clinton shutting down the airport to get a haircut that one time. President Clinton, I think it was LAX he did it, so it could be the same thing.
It's just, when Bjorn wakes him up, he's just like, what? Like it's expected that I should just be able to take a nap here. Why are you bothering me?
It's my 11 o'clock dirt nap. Yeah. Excuse me. The fuck?
It's my 11s.
Okay, so someone's coming by boat, and hilarity ensues.
Oh, yeah.
He sees that it's Aslog, and he just, like, ducks down.
Behind the post.
Behind the post, like he can hide.
Which is a natural reaction for most men. It'd be like, oh, shit.
Oh, crap. He just promised his wife that he would never have anything to do with her anymore.
And then we see him hastily trying to explain to her that Aslog just arrived. He did not know.
Yeah.
And she arrives with a whole, like...
Entourage,
yeah.
Shield maidens.
Shield maidens and servants and whatever else.
And pregnant.
Very pregnant. And but before we go on with this, I just wanted to point out something I noticed. When Geeta died last season, she became pregnant. Like, we found out she was pregnant right after. Mm-hmm. It's like Gita was the sacrifice. He communes with, or tries to commune with Gita, and says, if you want to come talk to me, come and talk to me then. Mm-hmm. And right after Aslog arrives, it's almost like something having to do with Gita is connected to Aslog. Mm-hmm. Maybe the baby in her belly.
That's pretty cool. I didn't think about that.
Like a reincarnation. But that's supposed to be a son, though. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've just noticed that, so I haven't thought about it beyond that.
He doesn't even do the math this whole episode on how long she's been pregnant. You know, it's just like, that's my kid. I mean, I'm just saying.
She told him at the end of the previous season that she was pregnant with his kid.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
So I guess he's just believing that, though.
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah. Well, we'll get to that again here in a minute, because there's a conversation about that between Siggy and Lagertha. But so now Lagertha is in front of Aslog, and she sees her baby bump, and that was a shock to her. And then it gets even better when they feast. Ragnar has a pet goat.
Right.
Just on the table.
Yeah, and goats poop a lot. So he's probably like, okay. But then he starts petting it, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cute, you know, a little pet goat. But
the goat's probably a security blanket that he very much needs right now.
He might just have a soft spot for little baby goats. You know, I don't know. Because even in a scene coming up, he's got that baby goat again. And he's just like, oh.
Nobody can be mad at me when I got a goat.
You're right.
Yeah, maybe that's.
Nobody will punch me. Don't punch me. I've got a baby goat. Yeah. Baby goat shield.
Aslog talks about her parents.
Oh man, what an uncomfortable topic. Because that one woman, Aslog. She has a pretty much almost like a god for a father,
and a famous shield made for a mother.
Yeah, yep. And she didn't know either of them. You know, she was like, "Well, I didn't really know." It's like, "Well, prove it's your folks." You know,
look at these cheekbones. They got to be my parents.
Yeah.
Bjorn barely hides his hostility toward Aslog. Oh. I don't even think he actually hides it at all.
Yeah, he had enough to drink at that point.
He's like, I'm not bonding with you ever. Mm-mm. Ragnar does not say a single word.
Smart man.
During that.
But he is giving some uncomfortable, furtive glances back and forth, because he's just like, it looks like he wants to turtle, to just.
Baby goat?
Shrink. You know what I mean? He's hiding behind his cup and he's just shrinking down. It's I think he even physically moves himself down in the chair a few times.
It's Jesse Pinkman when he ate dinner with Walter and Skyler.
This is the good lasagna, Mrs. Like, White.
Keeps drinking his cup, like staring around at the table.
Look at this sweet baby goat. You can't slap me. I love it.
Next, we see Aslog shopping at the local market. Bjorn berates his father over Aslog. Ragnar talks to Bjorn about happiness, which was a really, really good conversation. I think everybody should be talked to about that.
Yeah.
The bald facts there. Lagertha and Siggy talk about Aslog and Ragnar. Siggy wants to know what Lagertha is going to do. Lagertha does not know, but she must do what is right for her son. And this is where Siggy's like, so do you really believe it's his baby? I mean, the stuff she said about her parents makes me suspect that maybe she's a liar.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Squiggy's got the right idea.
Squiggy.
So, somebody's got it. We need the medicus for a DNA test.
That's what I was just thinking. The AD.
BCE.
This is the AD now.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
AD
now
medicus.
Now he sniffs their poop. Yep, that's yours.
Ragnar and Bjorn visit Floki. Ragnar tells Floki he must gain his strength and that there are whole fleets of boats to build.
And his eyes just light up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it excites Floki. And
I saw the places we were going to go.
He almost.
Fever dream.
That's the guy you want to go with you, because he's always going to get you motivated. You know, he's so into what he does. Even when you're having a bad day, he's going to get you motivated to keep you on the right path. You know, good friend.
So next we have a communal feast. Floki shows up. Aslog brings gifts, food. So let's talk about how Ragnar deftly handles this predicament.
Well, I like how his wife is like, oh, I didn't even, it looks like that was like the gateway to them possibly becoming friends.
She was reaching out.
You can cook. And she was like, well, no, I just bought it. They cooked.
And then that look of disappointment on her face, like, we can't even have this in common. Nope. This bitch doesn't even cook.
Yeah. And you see Ragnar just like, oh, shit.
Where's my goat?
He's like, no.
Where's my baby goat?
He's like, this is the time that I should, like, propose that we all live together.
Oh,
this seems ripe for that.
He needed, like, you know, some bell bottoms and some suede shirts. Get that 70s three-way action going. He tried.
Yeah, he really made an attempt here.
I hate it for LaGartha, but it made me laugh at first. But then it became really heavy, especially when you see Aslog's face. And she has a look on her face like she knows she just succeeded.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm saying this about Aslog, who I do not believe is entirely unsympathetic. I think there, you know, she's not a bad person. Mm-hmm. But I think this look on her face was just like, yep, got what I wanted.
Yeah.
And I have more invested in LaGartha.
Well, yeah, she's hotter.
Yeah, definitely.
She's tougher. She's a good mom. There's nothing you can say that's, like, bad about her. You know, you naturally gravitate towards her. Shit, I wish she was my mom. That would be awesome.
She's pretty awesome.
She's a good woman all the way around. Good woman.
The way she leaves it up to Bjorn and doesn't get mad at him about his decision and everything. Yeah. You know, she's helping him to become a man, and I really like her approach.
Oh, yeah.
The
next scene where they're in bed and talking, and she just kind of rolls over.
She didn't
over
say one word.
And he throws his hands in the air. It makes the more, you know, it's those scenes and the scene where he ducks away from seeing Aslog and everything else to where it's like, it makes it a little more familiar, you know?
Yeah.
It makes him a normal character.
she gives him only silence.
Mm-hmm.
Next morning, it's clear what decision she has made. First thing you see is a trunk being loaded onto a cart.
And no drama with her.
Mm-mm.
You know, she doesn't go and tell him she's leaving. It's just, I'm leaving. She is a good all-around woman.
Yeah, Floki comes in and says she's leaving. She's like, of course I am.
Yeah, duh.
End of discussion.
Yeah. And then the Eric the Red comes up and starts talking to his son like...
Thorstein.
Yeah, you have to stay, man.
What do you guys think about that?
I understand. A lot of men, I think, would do that in that era, even now. You know, your dad needs you. You're his son. You know, there's always that firstborn son. And then let alone in this type of situation, your dad's the leader. You're, you know, if everything goes well, then naturally he'd be next in line to take over too, wouldn't he?
I think it's a cultural thing. I think back then the fuck, because even there's a, when he was, what's his daughter's name? Ragnar's daughter's name?
Gita.
When he's talking to Gita, he says that, you know, the gods say that you should love your sons better.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so there's this bond between father and son. And I think he's just trying to reinforce that with Bjorn and say, look, your dad's famous. You know, you're going to be next in line. Your dad needs you. You need to be here. He's trying to groom you into being a man. This is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there's any ulterior motives for him doing that, but I would look at it differently. You know, if I was a kid, I'd be like, I'm not going to let my mom just go off by herself.
Before her departure, Bjorn does tell her that he will stay with his father, and she handles it like a champ.
Ah, awesome.
Siggy and LaGartha say goodbye, and while everyone looks on, LaGartha leaves and gives Bjorn a smile, and it's heartbreaking. Ragnar arrives and apparently was unaware of LaGartha's decision. He takes off after her on horseback and confronts her about his abandonment. She tells him she has no choice. He tells her he does not want her to go, and she says it is fate. Bjorn arrives and says he has changed his mind.
That kid can freaking run, too, because it took him no time. I mean, you figure how fast that horse was going. I mean, he must have just instantly, when he saw his dad take off.
Yeah, he's
I'm
he
right
booked
behind.
It.
Hell yes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's always monitoring their relationship.
Oh, yeah. He's like their marriage counselor. Yeah.
They're in there having sex.
Again.
He knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
So Ragnar hugs Bjorn and tells him to look after his mother. Ragnar watched them depart, one eye blinded by tears. The other one's not.
Mm-mm.
He's the Odin archetype, so I thought that was pretty cool. And then he goes to Aslog. And when he walks into the threshold of her place, he touches her belly, which I think is maybe a reminder for his recent sacrifice.
Did he smile a pinch when he walked in that door? I could have sworn there was just a little bit of a smile when he walked in.
He's always got a mischievous look on his face, mm-hmm. so I don't know.
I didn't notice that, but I thought it was significant that he only touched her stomach. He didn't kiss her. He didn't give her a hug. He just touched her stomach almost as if to say,
doing this for the baby.
This all happened, and the only reason you're still here is because of what I'm touching right now. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
Made it real for him almost.
He's basically saying, you know, this is my focus. It's not you. It's this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was my take on that.
And then
he just walked away. There wasn't any affection between them. It's almost like she's just a vessel for that child to him. doesn't mean that they won't be getting it on next episode, but
oh yeah,
you know,
I think he almost has no control with her, so
the love or lust over love.
I think I don't know, but she might be a magical being. I don't know. Maybe we should get this into this.
Well, the episode's over, so we could just go ahead and start the speculation, unless you wanted to do something else.
So this is the format. So we go through the recap just like we did, and recap, and then we're gonna do a speculation section where it's not really spoilers because we don't have spoilers, we don't have access to them, but we're just gonna talk about what we think may happen, and that's up to you if you want to listen to it. There will be music in between this section and the speculation section, so you can know to turn it off. But once again, if you want to be a part of our discussion and we'll read your emails online,
hell yes,
please drop us a line at noshipnetwork@gmail.com, or you can comment on our Facebook page at No Ship Network, and our Twitter account, which is our @NoShipNetwork handle. Anyway, the next episode is called Invasion, so we will see you then. Have a good day. I'm your host, Em.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Paul.
All right.
Good night.
Thoughts about what's coming up in this season? Any predictions?
I don't know. I mean, so we're supposed to come back a few years later. Is that what we know for sure, that it's going to be a jump?
Bjorn is going to be replaced by Alexander Ludwig.
Boo. Is that starting next episode?
I don't know.
Hmm.
And this actor is what, in his teens or early 20s?
Around there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's got to be.
So we imagine, I'm guessing, or speculating, as we'll say, that Lagertha and Bjorn set up somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
and
he comes
many
back
years
a badass. You know she's gonna train the shit out.
Oh yeah, there's gonna be, you know, it's like he's loyal to his mom, so there's gonna be some rewards for that.
Does his mom survive? Does she come back? You know, that might be why he goes back to his dad, because something happens to his mother. Maybe she gets captured or she gets hurt. I mean, what would make them go back? Just to see his dad?
I don't think we're gonna miss. What I'm gonna say is that I think Lagertha is gonna be there. Like, I don't think.
Okay, good. Because I don't
think we're done with her. Yeah, I think they realize that. I think. Mm-hmm.
I think all of the main characters are probably going to last through at least this season.
No, we need one of them to die this season. One of them has to get.
Well,
it.
I mean. Okay, maybe one of them
Rolo.
Will die, but no. I don't think any of them are going to die this early in the season.
Yeah, even though it would be cool.
Right off the bat.
Other than her.
Yeah.
Can't kill.
I don't want her to.
So what about Rolo? What are we going to get out of him possibly in the next episode? Are we... is he gone?
Well, I don't know if he's gone. I think long term, if I were to predict, like, the only thing I can really, like, speculate about is, like, maybe toward the end of the season, what we're going to see is, I think there's probably going to be some sort of betrayal.
Again? You
from
don't think he's
from Ragnar
lesson?
Towards Rolo, which is going to make the next time Rolo decides to go against Ragnar to be, like, cemented. He's not going to back down next time. And Rolo's going to, in a sense, be unleashed, because he is, I guess, the historical figure, Rolo, who eventually is going to invade France. So,
bastard.
But anyway, I don't know. Other than that,
I could totally see next episode opening up with Rolo and Siggy, like, farming a piece of land somewhere, you know, far away from
him, giving the effort
Kattegat.
To be just a bland, out of the way kind of guy.
But something pulls him back. Mm-hmm. Like, there's people around him, like, he's almost built his own little fiefdom or something like that. And there's other farmers that kind of are loyal to him and will fight with him whenever people try to raid their village or what have you. And then I could see a circumstance where Ragnar needs his help. Because he's going to go raid here or do this or that, and then it kind of bridges the gap between them a little bit.
See, I think greed brings him back.
Rolo?
Yeah, because of the way he's been in the past and everything else. I think I can agree with him going somewhere to try and farm. I don't think Squiggy's going with him though. She likes where she's at in the middle of everything. I can see him trying to do something on the side, but he's already shown that he's got a little bit of a greed streak to him, and I bet maybe his brother has some really, really successful raids and brings back, you know, some loot, and then maybe, you know, he's like, well, I've been good for a while. Let me back in to do some stuff with you.
I think it's more about glory than greed. I think he wants the name. So he talks about Shadow, mm-hmm. of being in his brother's shadow. And that was how Jarl Borg kind of got to okay. Rollo was saying, I've heard of your brother, but I haven't heard of you.
Mm-hmm.
And last season. But
it's a good point.
I'm wondering if, you know, we saw that Rollo has something for LaGuerta. Maybe that's going to come into play.
Could.
But
I don't know.
That's all the speculation I've really got for as far as, I mean, the next episode's called Invasion, so.
Yeah, we're going to be in England probably next episode, so.
Because the king that they were dealing with who declared vengeance.
King Ella,
yeah, he declared undying vengeance mm-hmm. on Ragnar Lothbrok, so there's still that. That's not going to go away.
No, I don't know. What about Aslaug? She's going to be there, a thorn in our sides, or?
Oh, I think there's more to Aslaug. I just...
Well, if we go forward that many years, Ragnar's going to have a son mm-hmm. with her.
Yeah.
Possibly
more.
Another kid.
Yeah.
You know, so, and they could have developed an actual relationship with LaGuerta being gone.
I have read some of the, I read the Ragnar Lothbrok saga, so she has a fairly big story, so she's...
She's not going anywhere?
No.
Damn it.
Uh-uh. I mean, they don't... This is more like a hodgepodge, because Rollo... I think existed like almost 100 years or so mm-hmm. later than the raids on Lindisfarne. So I don't know. It's interesting. And I did see an interview with Michael Hurst, who wrote this episode, and he wrote every single episode last season.
Oh, wow.
He's the creator. The director was Kieran Donnelly. I should have said that before the speculation section. But and that's another thing real quick. I like the fact that there's one writer. I don't think I've really noticed that in another show. There's usually multiple writers, so mm-hmm. there's really one vision. So maybe we'll have there's probably drawbacks to that, but having one consistent vision I think is good.
Well, he's done great so mm-hmm. far. I mean, he's got me hooked. Yeah.
The characters stay way more consistent that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've noticed when you watch shows that have a host of different writers, you get a lot of good, fresh ideas and perspectives, but a lot of times you have these episodes where certain characters, they just act off, and it pulls you out of your suspension of disbelief. At least it does for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they're just not themselves, and it's because they've got a different writer, and that writer might have a great idea for the story arc of that particular episode,
yeah.
but then, you know, Xander's acting like this or that, you know, and I just don't buy it, you know, so.
I can't remember why I started talking about that. Michael Hurst.
Were you going to mention Camelot? Is that one?
Did he write Camelot?
Yeah, he did Camelot. He's the creator behind Camelot.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll have to check it out.
So, but no, that's not why. I was talking about something about the show. It doesn't matter. All right, well, that's it for speculation.
Yeah, I don't really have much else.
No, maybe for the first episode. Yeah, we're going to have more by the middle of the season. This speculation is going to be just as mm-hmm. long as a recap.
Yeah, and plus, like, we're just getting used to this format. We didn't have this on Spartacus, so.
Although, if you do like the show Spartacus and you want to listen to it, we have another podcast called Thrace Relations that goes through all three seasons of Spartacus.
Four.
Three
and a half. And it's our first podcast.
Well, you know,
so
we're a little
rough
at
the
beginning.
When
it's
you
all right.
Start out.
It's all right.
I just like to let people know that.
We interject a little bit more comedy into that one.
Oh, we'll get more in this one.
Yeah. Not saying this one's going to be lacking in comedy, but there's some. Most of it probably got edited out, but. that podcast is fun to listen to, but it was known for going off the rails.
Mm-hmm. A little bit. Not too much.
But that was part of the appeal of it to me. That was, you know.
Yeah. So anyway, all right. So next time we'll be talking about the episode Invasion. We'll see you then.
All right.
Have a good day.
Later.
This was a No Ship Network podcast brought to you by Esoteric Studios and Axolotl Tank Productions.